you have your Bibles, I will turn you to a couple of places this morning, but I would like you to begin, if you would please, in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel is located in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Then you get to the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and then 1 and 2 Kings, and so on. We'll make our way throughout a couple of passages all the way into the New Testament. As I preached to you this morning, a message that I put in the bulletin as the title, The Answer to a Mother's Problem. The Answer to a Mother's Problem. Very rarely do I do what I will do this morning. And that is, I will preach you a message that the foundation of the message did not necessarily originate with me. Mother's Day is not an easy day to preach a message. I did not know until I became a pastor the different range of emotions that run on Mother's Day. I grew up in a home with a good mother, with a godly mother. Nobody grows up in a home with a perfect parent. But I grew up in a home with a good mother. I married a woman who is a good and great mother. And so I always have known Mother's Day to be celebrated and to be joyful. I did not know it to be different. However, in being in 22 years of ministry, I have found that not everybody looks at Mother's Day the way that I look at Mother's Day. Not everybody had the same type of mother that I had. Not everybody has the same kind of approach to Mother's Day or even to Father's Day. And as I tried early in ministry to prepare myself to preach on Mother's Day and Father's Day, I found it very necessary to make sure that the message that I preach came from God. And I do believe that any time a man stands up to preach the word, to preach a message, he ought to preach the word of God. But as a preacher, you pray and you beg God and you say, "Now, God, what do you want for the people on that day?" And I knew at the beginning of my prayer time for this day this morning that God had a broad-ranging message for us this morning. Normally, when I preach to you, I preach expositorily. I find a passage that God has intended for us. I dig that thing. I study that thing. I try to uncover the depth and the context and the riches and the application of that passage. And when you leave, I want you to understand that passage to the ability of the Spirit of God as He moves in our hearts. But God did not allow me to go to a single passage. And so I knew the message would be ranging in scope. And He began to put into my mind different mothers of the Bible. Did you know there are a lot of mothers in the Bible? When you start thinking about mothers and you start with Eve and you make your way all the way to Timothy and Eunice and his mother there and others, there are a lot of mothers mentioned in the Word of God. Some of them are awesome, and some of them are awful. There are some awful mothers in the Bible. I found, though, that in studying the mothers and looking at the mothers, that not necessarily was all they were so different that they did not have any unity or any commonness to them. I found that the awesome ones and the awful ones both still had problems. Problems. Sometimes in our mind, in our heart, we attribute the absence of problems to some kind of perfection or goodness. Therefore, if I don't have any problems, then I must be doing things right. But problems are not always a sign that you're doing something wrong. Sometimes problems can happen in your life and in your home and in your things that you're required about in your world without even your doing. They can happen to you, not because of you. I do not want any husband or wife or mother or father to be in the class today and in our church today and think that your family is the only family that has problems. I would like to give you an example. If your family has problems, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And I join that amen. No family is without problems. And as I was considering the mothers in the Bible and how I would present them to you, and God began to bring this to my mind, and God also led me to a lesson or some books that I began to read and study and try to wrap my mind around what God would have for us. And one of those was written by someone that I know, maybe not a friend of mine, but an acquaintance of mine. And her name is Kathy, and she wrote a book entitled Mission Motherhood. And inside that book of Mission Motherhood, she wrote a chapter on the answer to a mother's problem. And so it intrigued me, and I opened up the book and began to read that. And God said, Tom, this is where I want you to at least have a foundation this morning. And so I'm coming to you today to preach to you about some awesome mothers who had some awful problems. However, they had a commonality not only in their problems, but they had a commonality in their solution to their problem. And so I'm asking for every home, every parent, this is going to be a little bit slanted toward our mothers, but it would be included as far as fathers as well, to listen and ask God to speak to you today. Ask God to teach you something in being. I would encourage you to grab a pen, turn your bulletin over, and begin to write down things that God will show you or impress upon your heart. I pray that you will further these in your study. And so I have four mothers today. The first mother is a mother that you are familiar with. Her name is Hannah. Most Bible students know Hannah and her as a mother, and they know the name of her child, Samuel, and we'll read about that in just a moment. The second mother that I have for us to go to is a woman named Eunice. Eunice has a problem that a lot of women have today and a lot of mothers have, and I will show you her problem in just a few moments. Then we go to a woman who's only known by her country, the Syrophoenician woman. She has a daughter that has a problem. Her daughter has the same problem that my daughters have. Her daughter has the same problem that your daughters and sons have, my son included. It will be very, very applicable to our lives. Then I will take us to a group of women. They're not named individually, but they make up a group of women that have a purpose in their motherhood. And there is a hindrance to their purpose. There is a problem that is preventing them from doing what they believe that God wants them to do in the lives of their children. All four of these mothers and groups of mothers are precious and awesome mothers that are dealing with awful problems, but there is a wonderful solution to their problem. Now, I want to say this at the beginning before we make our message. Every problem that you face in your life, God has a solution. God has a solution. There are no unsolved problems with God. Hannah has a problem. It is a problem that longs deep in her heart. They say that the depth of a woman's heart has no measure. The depth of a woman's heart has no limit. Men, we don't really bury things in our hearts. We have a problem, we punch you in the nose and we shake hands and we go forward. Or you punch us in the nose and we shake your hand and we go forward. Ladies have the innate ability to bury in the depth of their soul their problems. Hannah was such a lady. Hannah has a problem. She is a mother in her heart before she's ever able to hold a child in her hands. And she has what I will call as a problem, a desire that is unfulfilled in her life. And that desire is that she wants to have a child. And she's vexed and perplexed and bothered and burdened by this unfulfilled desire. Matter of fact, if you look at verse number 5, there's a verse here that is hard to swallow, but it's in the Word of God. Unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. This is her husband. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Hannah had a desire to have a child, but God had closed her womb. She suffered greatly for this desire. As you look at verse number 6, the third word of that verse is the word adversary. She faced tremendous provocation and tremendous persecution over her barren womb. It was so perplexing and deep to her. If you look at verse number 7, at the end of the verse, it says that it brought to her a weeping. Therefore, she wept. She was so concentrated in her weeping that she did not eat. We're talking about a desire that was deep in her heart. If you look at verse number 10, there is a description of her soul. The Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul. I don't know if you've ever been in bitterness of soul, but it goes way beyond being bothered or way beyond being distracted. We're talking about a problem that affects her very nature, her very personality, her mind, her emotion, her will, where it got down into her gut and began to form in the face of a bitter soul and spirit, a brokenness in Hannah's life. I would say a brokenness that maybe only a woman could know. I'm not sure that men suffer brokenness the way that a woman can suffer brokenness. When a man feels broken or burdened, a man wants to fix things, to get out from under that. A man wants to just go forward or move on. A woman has the tendency to bury that within her soul. Such is the case that Hannah did. And it was a problem. It was a problem because of the desire within, and it was a problem because of the enemy without. Now, I don't want you to get lost on the point of Hannah's life. I don't want you to get lost on the point of Hannah's life. The point's not so much that she could not have a child in that moment. The point that I want you to understand in Hannah's life is that she has an unfulfilled desire in her soul. And it's a problem to her as a woman. It's a problem to her as a wife. It's a problem to her as the desire to be a mother. But I want you to understand something today. Not only do I want the ladies to understand this, but I want all people to understand that God cares about our desires. God knows your soul in totality. He knows the very depth of your soul. He knows every secret compartment where you stuff stuff. Does that make sense? Stuff stuff. He understands the depth of that. And God knows your heart today. And God cares about your desire. God cares about your brokenness. God cares about your loneliness. God cares about the burden of your spirit. God cares about the enemy without, the fear within. God cares about those thoughts that you think no one else cares. God knows the thoughts that pierce your mind in the deep darkness of the night. Aren't you glad we serve an eternal God who knows us. And even in knowing us, he loves us. Hannah was burdened. She had an unfulfilled desire in her heart. Is that you today? Are you here today with an unfulfilled desire in your heart that has burdened you and you think nobody knows about this desire, Pastor? Nobody knows the provocation it is in my spirit. Nobody knows the persecution that I face without. Do you spend your nights weeping, your days daydreaming? Is your soul in bitterness so much that you've lost your appetite over things and you are at an internal unrest in your spirit? I want you to know something. God knows about that. God cares about that. Hannah has a solution to her problem. If you look at verse number 10, the Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she complained and murmured and hid herself in her closet. Does your Bible say that? It better not. The Bible says she was in bitterness of soul, and she did what? She prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sorely. By the way, prayer is the right thing to do about every problem. Mom, wife, single woman, daughter, divorced, abused, forsaken. Whatever problem you face in your life, prayer is the right thing to do. How often do we seek the solution to a problem in some new book? Some new relationship, some new magazine, some new direction, and other people, but we fail to bring our problems to the one who can do anything about them, and his name is Jesus Christ. Hannah prayed and wept sorely. Her desire was proven in verse number 10. Or verse number 11, it says that she vowed a vow. And she made a vow to God. She said, God, if you'll meet the desire of my heart, this is what I will do. Psalm 37, verses 4 to 9, talk about delighting ourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. The Bible does never give anyone permission to receive sinful desire, but desires that come of the Lord and that are founded upon the Word of God and desires that are moved about by the Spirit of God, you have the promise of God's Word that God will meet those desires. Hannah's desire is, the goal of her desire is met in verse number 11. If you look right in the middle of it, it says, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the, say his name, the Lord, all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. And Hannah had this desire, and the bitterness of this desire far went past just having a child. The bitterness of that desire went to the ability to where she could honor and glorify the Lord. And above anything in her life, she wanted God to get glory in her life. And she saw her life as absent of the glory of God, though it was not. Ladies, sometimes you look at what you don't have in life or what you're unable to give. And sometimes barren wombs think, well, I'm absent from the ability for God to get glory in my life. My friend, if you know Jesus, God can get glory in your life. And sometimes God is working your life to the heights and to the depths. And you step back and you think, God, how could this be of you? God, how could I feel this way and you, this be of you? And God, this isn't right. But God is molding and fashioning and positioning you in some way that where when he meets that desire, not just you, but he will get all the glory in the world. See, we serve an omniscient God who's all powerful. And Hannah has this deep, unfulfilled desire buried in her soul. And she went to the Lord with her desire. If you were to look at verses 12 to 16, she also shared her desire with the man of God. She enlisted help in this. I would like to say to those folks that are out here today listening to this message, And deep in your soul, you know what it is to have an unfulfilled desire. And you know the pain and the anguish of what Hannah is going through. And you may have children, but your desire is differently. Let me say this. It sure is a blessing to have other people pray for you. And Hannah's burden was so big that she had to unload this burden. Now, it's one thing to unload this burden to people that don't know what to do with it, but it's another thing to unload the burden with other shoulders who can pray. And you find that Hannah found somebody to help shoulder the burden in her life. And it wasn't that they shouldered the burden in their own ability. They shouldered that burden to the throne of grace. I would encourage everyone here with an unfulfilled desire buried deep in your soul, find someone that can go to the throne of grace with you and partner with you in this. We tend to have such a privacy about our lives, and we just think that nobody understands, but oh, what a joy it is for others to bear the burden. It's only half as heavy as we go to the throne of grace. Verse number 18 speaks about Hannah as she lifts this prayer, as she has enlisted help in her prayer. The Bible says, and she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." This was after Eli gave her the admonition that God was going to answer her prayer. In verse 15, "So the woman went her way, and she did eat." And all the ladies said, "Praise God." And her countenance was no more what? Sad. Okay. So let me talk to the ladies today about sad countenance. A burden deep in your soul is a problem that all parents face. It's a problem that all of God's people face. It's Mother's Day, so I'm talking to mothers. There is a burden that can be so deep in your soul that it can affect the very nights. It affects your tears. It affects your appetite. It can affect your countenance. It's in those moments when you feel your countenance being attacked and you feel your countenance sliding into despair or discouragement or sliding into some kind of depression. It's in those moments that you had better remember that we serve a living God who hears and answers our prayer. And Hannah had faith that God heard her prayer and that God would answer her prayer. And my friend, God hears the prayers of His children. Mother, God hears your prayer. Pastor, it doesn't look like God hears my prayer. Well, this Bible says God hears and answers prayer. And Hannah received lifting of the burden of her spirit, and she received that encouragement, and she received her desire. Now, sometimes I take some liberties as the pastor, and if you're visiting with us, just bear with me, but I'd like to say this to some hearts and minds today. Maybe you're like Hannah. You're a mother in your heart, but you have no child in your hand. Pastor, I've asked God, this burden in my heart, take it away, do something with it. But God, I can't take the burden in the absence. Pastor, how do I mediate that? What do I do? Here's exactly what you do. You surrender that situation to your sovereign Lord. Number two, if that burden does not go away and it increases, then you begin to look for some opportunities where you have the opportunity to mother a child already born. Pastor, I could never adopt a child. Listen, there are children all over the world without parents. Maybe God created you and them so you could mother one of those children. Pastor, I could never love an adopted child like my own. They taught us in Greek a Greek word to address that, bologna. Do you know what they call adoptive parents? Pregnant. Most of the time, when people start adopting children, then they find out they're pregnant. If God put that burden in your heart and it won't go away, and your body's past the age bearing, or it just is not proving itself, then why don't you get on your knees and pray and say, God, is this something you want me to do? I felt like I needed to say that because the devil takes our burdens And he twists them to make us think that God is not good. And I got news for you. Our God is good. And he's good all the time. Now here's the question. Hannah's desire was proven. It wasn't about her having a child, per se. It was about her giving glory to God. Don't you think that those stupid women who made fun of her when she couldn't have a child made fun of her after she gave her child to the Lord? How could you be so stupid? Why would you give that child? You're never going to have another child. What kind of loving mother are you? God gives you a child and you give your child to the Lord. All loving mothers ought to want their children to belong to the Lord. She had an unfulfilled desire, but God met that desire. God knows about your desire this morning. Second mother I want you to know is found in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Her name is Eunice. This is a powerful passage of Scripture because it's a problem that we face in our society today. And it's a problem a lot of women face. And I've asked God to help me be tender today and be tender in this moment. And so, but this is what God has for us. If you look at Acts chapter 16 at verse number 1, then came he, that's Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman. We know this woman in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. Her name is Eunice. A certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed. She's a Christian woman. But his father was a Greek. Now, God's not against Greek people. Otherwise, we wouldn't have Greek food, which is pretty good. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. You have an awesome mother here who has a problem. She lives in a divided home. You've got a mother who's a Christian, and you've got a father who's not a Christian. And I am finding that this is a very practical and real situation in the world in which we live in today. Eunice loved God with all of her heart, but she was married to a man that didn't love God. Many people, one spouse knows the Lord, the other spouse doesn't. God blesses these two with a child. And Eunice, as a mother, is doing everything she can to raise her son for the glory of God, but her husband is an unbeliever. And their home has been divided by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in her mind, she thinks, being all alone, how am I going to be able to have influence and control in my son's life to train him so that he would be pure, Bible-centered, a Christian, a man that God can use? And so the gospel has infiltrated this home. The mother has received it. The father has rejected it. And now you have a home that is divided. Now, I want to be very tender here, but I want to be very careful here. And inside this mother's heart, she wants for her son to know Jesus Christ. And so what does she do about this? I have many parents that ask me about that. How does she navigate this? And so maybe you're a mother today, or you're a father today, and you're married to an unbeliever. And in your heart burns the desire for your child to know Christ. By the way, every Christian parent ought to want their kids to be saved. So, Pastor, how is there hope? I mean, I look at, and I love my spouse, but I look at the direction they're going, and that direction is not with the Word of God. And I look at my kids, and they love their dad, they love their mom, they love everything about them, and they're being going after that direction. And my heart is sitting here pleading, and I'm thinking, God, how are these kids going to come to? I'm doing it all by myself. Well, Eunice found success in this. And if you were to write down, don't turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and you read 2 Timothy chapter 1, you will find that she did some things. Here's the first thing that Eunice did. She made the Bible preeminent in the sole authority of her life. She made the Bible preeminent in her life, in her son's life, in the training, and in their home. She realized the absolute necessity of the power of the Word of God to do what she could not do in her own power. Listen to me. This Bible has power. And so you have a parent here, a wife here, who wants her child to be saved. And she realizes that this is, that there's a conflict here. There is a division here. And she realizes that she's limited in what she can do. And so what does Eunice do? She begins to flood that kid's life with the Word of God. And before she could flood that kid's life with the Word of God, she had to have the Word of God preeminent in her own life. Now, Eunice is known as a great mother. But I would submit to you that before any woman can be a great and godly mother, they must first be a great and godly wife. Now, let me help you with this. Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean, if you're going to invest in your child the Word of God, and the Word of God is preeminent in your life, then the Word of God will not only make you a godly mother, it will make you a godly wife. And Eunice was a godly wife first. Ladies, if you are married, you are a wife first, then a mother. And the Bible would teach you, if you're married to an unsaved man, men, if you're married to an unsaved woman, there's instruction for you. But if a woman is married to an unsaved man, the Bible teaches that woman how to behave herself. The Bible teaches you exactly, step by step, how you can influence your husband. And by the way, ladies, your power to influence is greater than nuclear power. Okay? The proof of that is some of you have had some explosions in your home that are greater than nuclear power. And the woman's power, oh, I wish I could just drill into the mind of a woman how much influence you have on a man. Now, we will never tell you that this side of the grave. But you have tremendous influence. You have influence on a man. You have influence on your children. But ladies, godly ladies, listen to this, pastor. If you think you can step over your man and put all of your influence in your child because you want them to go to heaven, you made the wrong move. That's right. You cannot hurt a man like that and not be a Bible godly wife and think that it's going to filter down to those kids. So what do, pastor? You fall on your knees and you pray for wisdom. You immerse yourself in that Word of God. You let the Spirit of God transform your life. And the best that you can be, you be a wife to your husband. And then as you face those children, you begin to filter the Word of God, flood the Word of God into their life. And so many times parents feel this strife or this battle. Well, I got to protect them from this, and I can't send them with him there. I can't send her with her there, and I got to set up this and this. And they're going to go over here with them, and that's just going to undo everything that I've done over here. No. It's not in your power. God must do it. So you just let the Word of God do what the Word of God can do. A lot of homes are divided over the gospel. Now, I want to say this. We need godly men. We need godly men. Men of courage. Men of conviction. Men of compassion. Men that will love God, love their wife, love their kids. Men that will work in tandem, harmony. We live in a world without dads. We are suffering the consequence of a world without godly dads. Mom, if you're carrying the spiritual burden of your home, keep going. Don't quit. Don't get to the point where you think it's no use. Don't get to the point where you think it's too heavy. Don't get to the point where you think that God can't do anything about it. I would submit to you that at those moments when you're tempted to quit, that is the enemy, because you're so close to the answer that God has for you. Yet a divided home, and Eunice just trusted the word of God. If you would make your way to the book of Matthew, there's a third mother here. This is a Syrophoenician woman. She has a problem. She has a problem that I face in my home. She has a problem that you face in your home. It's a very common problem that's in all of our homes today, to be honest with you, in the Christian's home and the non-Christian home. For sake of time, I won't read you the whole passage of Scripture there in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 and 28. But the Bible says in verse number 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a what? With a devil." The Syrophoenician mother faced the same problem that Tom and Beverly face. The devil was after her child. And I would submit to you that Tom and Beverly Hunter faced the same problem in our home that every home in this church building faces. The devil's after our children. We don't necessarily make it easy to... We make them vulnerable sometimes in our own behavior, but the devil is seeking to influence and control our children. And I would submit to you that our society, that our young people are vexed today. Just turn the news on. We live in a society today of vexed children that have turned to violence and have turned to all kinds of evil as the devil is alluring them. The devil is seeking to influence and gain control in the lives of our children, and his tool chest is filled with tools that are able to do the job. This mother had a problem we all face. You will find in the Bible that the devil put as much energy into destroying babies as he did children that had already grown. This daughter was older, but many times in the Bible, the devil tried to destroy children up to the age of two. The devil is a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and he's after our young people. To not understand this, mom and dad, is to send your children out without protection. It's to cast them before the wolf and before the lion that is roaring about. This woman recognized the problem for what it was. She understood that Satan was her problem. And it was not just a harmless stage or a phase that this child was going through or some kind of generation gap. She saw the behavior in her child and she understood it to be influential from the enemy. She realized that her child was beyond her own help and that the only solution to this problem was God. And so she brought her child to God. Her child had to have the power of God to be delivered from the devil's control. And your children need the power of God to be delivered from the devil's control. Now look your preacher in his eyeballs. I got four of them. It is an absolute necessity that your home has God's power. Amen. Sir, you are to be the main source of God's power entering into your home. Amen. If the dad won't do it, then mom can pick it up. But Christian people, you can build all the white picket fences you want to. You can give your kids all the rules you want to. You can give them all the money, all the head start. You can pay whatever you want to pay to do it. But if their heart's not guarded by the power of God, they're not protected. And this woman understood that her child was being sought after by the enemy. And so she came to the Lord because she knew she needed God's help. How often do you go to the Lord to seek his help in the direction of your children? She came to the Lord on behalf of her child's need. She came to the Lord in prayer, and oh, how we need praying mothers. Mom. You're called mama bears for a reason. I'm not on Facebook, but I stalk Facebook through my daughters. And I have a problem, and I'll admit it. If you have a 5-step process to help me, just tell me. But somebody put on Facebook this polar bear and her cub. Did you see this one? And the polar bear's cub fell into the water. And out of the screenshot, all of a sudden came this mama polar bear running like a champ, man. And that mama bear jumped right into that water, and she got behind that little polar bear baby, and she helped that little polar bear baby up out of the water. Well, I got news for you. Our children are falling into the seas of wickedness as the devil comes after them. And we need some parents to respond like that polar bear and jump headfirst into the water of the Spirit of God and the Word of God and begin to undergird our children up with thus saith the Lord. The fourth group of women are found in Mark chapter 10. You had a woman that had an unfulfilled desire, and God cared about that desire and met the desire of her heart. You have a woman that was living in a divided home because of the gospel, and God showed himself strong on that, and she was able to see her child come to know the Lord as she let the Word of God do in her what needed to be done. You have a mother that recognized the devil was after her child, and she brought her child to the Lord. You have some unnamed mothers in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. They had heard that Jesus loves the little children. And so they are bringing their young children to him that he should touch them. And as they get there in verse 13, it says his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and he said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." These mothers faced a problem much like we face. And their problem was the bringing of their children to the Lord. There was a hindrance and an opposition they faced as they tried to bring their children to Christ. We face that. I would ask you this question. Does Jesus love little children? If you believe that, say amen. Pastor, why would children need God? Would you look at that last verse there? 16, I think it is, and he says, and he took them up in his what? In his arms. And he put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. He took them up in his arms. That's protection and care. Our children need to be protected and cared for, and Jesus can do that. He put his hands on them. That's guidance and goodness and provision. And our children need that. And he blessed them, a spiritual blessing that would go with them throughout their whole lives. Now, I would like to say this, Mom and Dad. Please hear this. You can leave them all the money you want to leave them. Leave them a house here. Leave them a house in the mountains. Leave them a house on the beach. Leave them a house on Mars. And there is a physical blessing that a parent ought to leave a child. Well, you could take all the physical blessings in the world and compile them into one, and it would not be more valuable than the spiritual blessing that a parent ought to leave a child. You got a little pen? I'd like you to write down about 8 things here that I think will help you. I'll just read them very quickly. Help us bring our children to Christ. If you want it, you can email me or get it off the line or whatever. But number one, seek God's blessing upon them early in their life. Every parent ought to dedicate their children at birth to God. Number two, teach them about Jesus and salvation early in life. Number three, pray with them and for them regularly. Let them hear you pray for their salvation. Let them hear you pray for God's goodness upon them. Let them hear you pray for God's will. Let them hear your request. Pastor, I pray for my children, but I do it privately. Do it in their presence. Number four, hide God's word in their heart. Oh man, as a parent, that's what you want to do. You want to hide God's word in your kid's heart. Number five, keep them in church. Keep them in church. Keep them in an atmosphere where people are being saved. The power of God is. Keep them where they can hear Bible preaching and teaching. Keep them where they can see miracles that are happening. Keep them in church. Next, watch for their signs of conviction on their heart. Watch for God's moving in your kid's heart. Listen, you saw the video that little kid walked up to his mom and said, "Could you tell me about God? I don't have time," is not the right answer. And lastly, be spiritually right yourself. Be spiritually right yourself. Four problems, I'm done. An unfulfilled desire that God was able to meet. A divided home that God was able to bless. A child sought by the devil that God was able to redeem. Children that were prevented from coming to the Lord that God was able to receive. And so I would like to close by saying this. Every home has problems. Every marriage has problems. Every relationship has problems. The solution to all problems is the Lord. And God's people would say. I was thinking early this morning, do you know that I have been saved for 38 years? I'm 43 years old. I got saved when I was 5. Anybody been saved longer than 38 years? Few of you. I grew up in a preacher's home. I grew up in a good home. I grew up in church. I have been in ministry for 22 years. And I have been your pastor for 11 years. And with all of that goodness about God that He has provided for me, I'd like to tell you this. I make a statement in my counseling sessions and it goes something like this. Whoever will go with the Lord will survive their problems. Whoever will go God's way will survive their problems. A lot of other opportunities to go a different direction. But Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I cannot make you do that, but I will tell you, God's word is true. It's Mother's Day. It's a day to be grateful for the mother God gave you. But it's also a day to anchor your home upon the Lord. Shall we pray?